In the beginning, there was only darkness, at least in the Great Smoky Mountains, the ancestral home of the Cherokee. Rumors had told of another side of the world, where light and warmth radiated from the sky, so the animals ventured to the other side to steal a piece of the flame. The possum tried to hide it in its tail, and the buzzard tried to hold it in its beak. Each of their descendants today is bald where they were burned. It is only when Grandmother Spider, traveling on her web, trapped the flame in her invention of pottery that the sun came to the Cherokee side of the world. Ever since, the sun has featured heavily in Cherokee mythology, to the point where the first Christian missionaries to the Cherokee equivocated it with their omnipotent god. A close look at Cherokee sun stories reveals something different, though. A figure who demonstrates ways of living in the world on which she shines. From teaching practical skills, to showing the healing power of story and song. My name is Sean. Welcome to Mythos and Logos. Many Cherokee stories tell of the sibling rivalry between the sun and her brother, the moon. In this case, a story of the sun's jealousy. People have always loved to look up at the moon in the night sky, but we squint our eyes and hide our faces from the sun. So when her brother mentions the love between humanity and himself, the sun, in anger, decides to burn hot in the sky, killing many with fever and heatstroke. In the early days of creation, the people had placed the sun high for just this reason, to keep a distance from her flame. But now she had begun to wreak havoc even from her heights. The humans consult the little people who dwell hidden in the woods, deep within caves and behind waterfalls, characters who deserve an episode of their own, to be sure, and they are told that they must kill the sun. The little people use their magic to transform the humans into snakes to accomplish their tasks. The sun visits her daughter each day at noon, so they set up an ambush at her daughter's house in the center of the sky. And the results make for both an entertaining story and practical lessons, as when the sun opens her daughter's door, the first snake, the hognose, can only spit out a harmless yellow slime, just as it does today, appropriate for a snake that is not dangerous to humans. The copperhead slithers away from the sun's heat, useless to the people of our story, but giving the listener a great way to remember that copperheads are nocturnal in the hot summer. This is only one example of the Cherokee method of teaching practical lessons through story. When the Irish-American ethnographer James Mooney lived among the North Carolina Eastern Band of Cherokee for decades, he learned that the songs that hunters used as calls are also shared through stories, as even are the sacred formulas of medicine men. The fact that this knowledge survived for centuries even before the absolutely brilliant Sequoia invented the Cherokee writing system in the 19th century is proof of the power of stories like this one in sharing knowledge. Returning to our story, the little people are consulted once more for their transformation magic, and as a new pair of people are transformed, the lessons change as well. The next pair includes the rattlesnake, accompanied by the great horned serpent, who appears in stories all across North America. The rattlesnake rushes ahead and coils up at the sun's daughter's doorstep, reflexively striking as soon as the door opens. He realizes too late that it is not the sun, but her daughter that he has killed. The rattlesnake returns to tell the people, and to this day he is treated with respect, as the rattlesnake never tries to hurt humans, as long as we take care to remember that he is easily startled. But the great horned serpent becomes so angry at losing its chance that it sets forth on a path of destruction until the people banish it to the sky world. Another practical tip for life in the natural Appalachian woodlands becomes a social lesson. In the rattlesnake's case, and how to respect and forgive those who make honest mistakes. While in the case of the great horned serpent, driving away the malevolent who cause intentional, indiscriminate harm. When the sun finds her daughter dead, the people below trade one problem for another, as she refuses to shine, and the world is plunged once more into darkness. The little people offer guidance once more that if the humans are to undo their mistake, they must journey to the ghost country to bring the daughter of the sun back to life. And the little people give their instructions in which the traditional holy number of 7 appears repeatedly. It is 7 hand breadths that separate the sun from the earth, and so the people send 7 men with 7 rods from the sourwood tree, each a hand breadth long. They must travel 7 days to the ghost country in the west, where they will find all the ghosts dancing in a circle. In 7 rounds, each man must take their turn striking the daughter of the sun until she falls out of the circle, and they capture her in a box to carry back to the village. But there's one catch. They must not open the box until the journey home is finished. The version of this story collected by James Mooney in his travels details what happens next. They took up the box and started home toward the east. In a little while, the girl came to life again and begged to be let out of the box, but they made no answer and went on. Soon she called again and said she was hungry, but still they made no answer and went on. After another while, she spoke again and called for a drink and pleaded so that it was very hard to listen to her. But the men who carried the box said nothing and still went on. When at last they were very near home, she called again and begged them to raise the lid just a little because she was smothering. They were afraid she was really dying now, so they lifted the lid a little to give her air. But as they did so, there was a fluttering sound inside, and something flew past them into the thicket, and they heard a red bird cry, "Quish, quish, quish," in the bushes. They shut down the lid and went on again to the settlements. But when they got there and opened the box, it was empty. So we know that the red bird is the daughter of the sun, and if the men had kept the box closed, as the little men told them to do, they would have brought her home safely, and we could bring back our other friends also from the ghost country. But now, when they die, we can never bring them back. The sun had begun to hope when she had learned that the men were journeying to bring her daughter back from the ghost country, but when they return with the empty box, she is overwhelmed with grief. The sun's tears cause a great flood which threatens to drown the world. The people hold a council, this time without the little people invited, and send forth the most handsome men and women to dance for the sun. Still, she cries and cries until the drummer suddenly changes the song. Surprised and amused at the new tune, the sun smiles once more and shines again. In the end, it is song, not the magic of the little people, that brings the sun to shine again. And this reveals much about the role of story and song in Cherokee tradition. When the Irish-American James Mooney lived among the Cherokee for decades to learn and preserve stories, including this one, he brought back to the outside an interconnected web that is not that different from the one on which Grandmother Spider journeyed to capture the sun in the first place. Stories and traditions reflected in the natural world and in society. It is said, for example, that there is a plant to serve as medicine for every illness, but when the medicine men who trusted and worked with Mooney shared their manuscripts, they detailed not just recipes, but stories, poems, and songs, each of which served a vital role in their practice. Stories like that of the Daughter of the Sun give practical advice for Appalachian life, teach social lessons, and even offer a slight glimpse into an ancient cosmology. Songs, music, poetry, and nature all come together in traditions like this one, So the next time you experience the world around you, even as simple as hearing a bird call or catching a glimpse of red flying by, you might stop to wonder where it is connected in the great web.